Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jen, who is here to speak with us about compassionate scheduling with a mentor group coaching. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, Jen. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Yep. Thanks for being with
us. Yeah, thank you so much. It's fun to be here.
So, yeah, it's such a good topic. I project just one that just about everyone on the planet can relate to.
Yeah. Yeah, I project that too.
Yeah. So I know that you have, that there's currently some sessions of it going on, but also that it's been offered in the past and that you've had a chance to participate with those. And so we thought it would be fun to just have you on and talk about some of the things that you've seen about it over the course of participating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, yes, as you say, it feels like one of those, like, wow, yeah, I sure have lots of places where I want to keep looking at that compassionate scheduling with the mentor. And it feels like for so
yeah.
many of us, it's such an important place, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, I hardly know where to begin because there are so many just kind of beautiful things arise in that offering to me. But, you know, I was looking at it today, and one of the things that I was seeing is that in the last group, it was just really fun. I mean, always to me, it feels like, you know, looking at anything in that way together is just such a power of Sangha place, right? Like, okay, we're going to actually all, you know, a group of us is going to really turn our focus, turn our attention to compassionate scheduling with the mentor. And then, you know, we're just going to see so much. And it's so exciting because one person sees this and another person sees that, and that informs the next, and you know, all kinds of awesome things in that way.
which, you know, just to quickly underline that, Jen, which is such a fabulous thing about group coaching. Well, okay, it's a fabulous thing about Sangha in general, because what you just described is what will happen tonight on the radio show. It's what happens on retreat. And I think in particular, it's what can be really powerful about a group coaching experience, because we all come together, we look at this particular topic that we've all chosen to participate with, so in some way we're working with it in our lives and our practice, and we get to build on the insights that everyone has around it.
Exactly, and especially something like schedule, where, you know, I project it, sure seems to go for me anyway, that, you know, conditioned mind would much rather that I stay isolated and suffering. You know, scheduling is, you know, a mess, and it's a great place to cause a person to suffer, so don't be talking to anybody about that, right? But then you come together with a group of people, and everybody's going to get to see things that are, it informs each other's processes so beautifully. It's just so helpful. So one of the things that arose in the recent offering that just seemed so fun, and it was so neat, I mean, I project, it wasn't like anybody came to the call with, okay, we're going to talk about this. It just, you know, arose in that way through all of the discussion and everything that was being looked at, but really getting to that place of, oh, you know, it's not just called compassionate scheduling group coaching, like that would be really cool too, right? But it's compassionate scheduling with the mentor. And I project, you know, we all kind of went to like, oh, right, that conditioning so quickly comes in and is like, oh, compassionate schedule, okay, I'm going to take that over. I'm going to tell you, you know, what your compassionate schedule should look like, right? But then getting to this place of, oh, with a mentor, and then it opens up all this stuff like, oh, the mentor and I, you know, sit down with the recorder and we, you know, light a candle, have a cup of tea, whatever that looks like for each person, right? But we, you know, the mentor is there with the human, there with the heart. Like, what do you really want in your day? What are the elements of, you know, there's this that maybe kind of, you know, has to be attended to, but then you'd also really love to have that. And, you know, doing that with the mentor is just such a different place. So that was one of the most fun things that I was seeing that arose out of it. One of many, but
That's so fun, Jen, because just as you're talking about it, I can feel how different that feels, just the sense of it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm going to sit down with someone who just completely loves me, you know, wants me to wildly succeed in the sense of absolutely have the big life that I want to have, you know, whatever I want to have in that life, and is right there with me to help me look at all the different elements of that. It could turn from that grim, like, as you said, you're a mess, like, in this area, so don't tell anyone about it, to kind of this fun adventure of, like, well, let's just find out. Let's see. Let's have fun with this. Let's just see what's here. And even if it's not all, you know, if there's some hard things that I move through as I'm doing that, I've got this person who loves me, who's here with me in my corner, doing it with me. I'm not alone in it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I'm so grateful to be involved with this offering because, you know, it's definitely, as we said, for, I think for many folks and definitely for this human, a place, you know, where there can be so much suffering. And so to have that constant reminder of like, oh, right, wait, with the mentor, that's a whole different, whole different experience, you know? So yeah, to keep, you just keep having the chance to look. And then as you say, yeah, all kinds of things may happen too, and that's another fun thing that it feels like has arisen in those practice offerings is that place of, you know, maybe we kind of think it's going to go a certain way, or there's one of the invitations is to make kind of a practice intention or a practice commitment through each week, and then to be looking at what happens with that, and it can feel so like, oh, well, I didn't do my practice commitment, therefore I'm a failure, you know, whatever condition mind mm-hmm. would do with that. But getting mm-hmm. to see that actually, you know, just making that commitment and then having all the support of the group, so there's a midweek email check-in and then everyone's coming together mm-hmm. to talk about that on the call and there's, you know, just so much support to look. It's just like when we can drop the beatings, it's like, wow, just getting to see so much, like, oh, you yeah. know, I attempt to make a commitment there and, you know, I want to bring something into whatever. But so maybe it's like exercise, you know, there were some looking at different things like that, right? And then just seeing once we just have a, you know, I don't know, like a kind, loving, compassionate space to look, which is what the group feels yeah. like, then getting to yeah. see all the bamboozles, like, oh, yep. I'm told exercise, or maybe the heart really, you know, wants exercise, that's probably there too, but then all this mm-hmm. stuff creeps in, like, okay, exercise needs to be 7 days a week for 2 hours a day, or, you know, whatever, like, is, like, so unkind and probably not going to happen in most lives, but without something, it feels to me anyway, like, without something like the group and everybody looking at it together, like, it just gets filed under, oh, yeah, you fail at exercise, because there isn't exactly. a chance to see, like, oh, yep. I was so set up in how that whole thing yes. happened, you know? So, yes. yeah.
Yes, well, so well put. I mean, I just, you know, it's funny, but of course it isn't funny when we're in the middle of it,
yeah.
but that's yeah. exactly what happens, right? It takes something that the heart really wants to do, exercise. Gosh, it feels good. I want to do that for the body, all those things. And then you can just see the whole, you know, the voices back there. Okay, perfect. Well, let's see how we can turn this into a giant failure. And then they put us on a program of, quote, you know, success, and it's actually completely a program of failure. But that is so subtle when it's inside of our own heads that we don't see it. And so I think what you're talking about mm-hmm. is that in the context of a group coaching, all of that is brought out to the surface where we can see it. It has no meaning. It doesn't mean anything about me. It's not, you know, any of that, no self-hate in it, that we get to see what's going on, which actually gives us the opportunity to make a choice.
Exactly, exactly. It's mm-hmm. so helpful because otherwise, yeah, it definitely feels to me, and I project for lots of folks that, yeah, it's just kind of in there like, right, want to exercise, should exercise, but you're doing it wrong, or, you know, without a chance to really reveal, like, what's happening. And that I know we're getting close to the time. That was one other just really, really beautiful thing that it felt like was offering, or was happening in that offering was there was a lot of, like, staying with the same commitment each week, which ended up feeling so, so fun. I mean, not that there's a should in that, like it could be a new commitment each week or it might be the same one, but there was so much richness, I project, in the staying with the same thing, you know, because then, I mean, we talk about that sometimes, right? Like the voices love to just keep changing it up so we never get to really track something very closely. But like that yeah. seemed like that was a really fun thing too, to just be like, okay, wow, you know, set this commitment, totally got bamboozled, totally got talked out of it. Okay, no problem. I'm going to do it again for this week and just see, you know, what I get to see this week. Like, how did I get talked out of it? And how did, you know, and again, without, like, without the beatings and just the fun of a whole group coming together to say, yeah, this is a schedule's a tough one, you know, and it feels like we're all, there's so many folks who love what happens on retreat around schedule, and so there's a sense of something else is possible, you know, with that sense of coming together to say, like, wait a minute, what goes on around scheduling? Like, then, yeah, we just get to see so much. So, yeah, just a really fun, beautiful richness that happens with all of it.
That's such a great image, Jen, just that. It's like we're always ganged up against by the voices,
yeah.
Right? They're just piling up, well, this and that, you know, that the path to failure that we were talking about a minute ago. And then we all come together, and we basically gang up on it, you know. And so everyone's bringing their insights, and I love that place of, oh, yeah, wow, got bamboozled out of that one. That's fascinating. Oh, my gosh, well, good. I'm going to set that intention again. Just that place of not letting it get the upper hand, but instead all of us coming together, and we pool our insights, right? And then with that information, we all go out into the next week and see what we see. Right? Not, that's so critical. Not keep our commitments perfectly, but see what we see. And then we all come back and we come in together and we huddle and we report, and then we go out again into the field. And I just, that's so great. Yeah.
Exactly.
Process.
Yeah. It's, yeah, it is a great process. Exactly. So yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really helpful. Yeah.
And so I know there are at least a couple of sessions of that coaching going on right now that just began. So not, I don't think there's an opportunity to sign up for it currently, but I'm sure absolutely since they've been so successful that that will be an offering again. So for people to watch out for that coming up and jump in and participate with us, cause it's really, really fun.
Exactly. So, yeah. Watch for the next one. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, Jen, anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
Just so much gratitude for, yeah, the process, the practice, the sangha, the everybody coming together. You know, it's so much harder to keep suffering over something like schedule or anything else when it's like, oh, everybody else is suffering around this too. And okay, as you say, we can gang up on those voices and work on the breaking free together. It just is such a game changer. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
Perfect.
You.
Thank you, Jen. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jen. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing really well, as a matter of fact. I got to participate in a marvelous New Year's retreat. And then I got to come home and start working on our new book on communication.
Wow.
And that is very fun. And I get to do that right up until the email class starts. when I'll get to write another book.
Right.
Just kidding.
One book after another.
One book after another. So, yeah, it feels like just such a really nice kind of short days on the cold side, getting some rain, stay in.
Yeah.
It's a good time for that inward focus and to be doing something that I love. So I'm a happy person, a happy human being.
Great, great.
Yeah.
And
how
I'm
about
very
yourself?
Much looking forward to that book.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a good one. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here. And we've had a little absence from Open Air, so I'm trying to remember how the buttons work and all the steps and all that. And we seem to be good so far. So that's
great. Yeah, it does seem like we haven't talked in a long time, except we got a chance to talk at the New Year's retreat. So that was that was fun. But, not on Open Air. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
I bet you have an announcement.
I have announcements here.
Oh,
sorry, I missed that. Say that again?
Oh, I said, I bet you have announcements. Just right as you were saying, I have announcements.
Yes, yes.
So we're both remembering how it goes.
Good. We will be kicking off another year of practice with a virtual workshop with you, Sherry, on January 19th. The workshop will follow the format of Our Best Year Yet and is free of charge, although participants must register.
Yes, I think that's the request. Please register and please let us know well in advance if you find out you can't attend, because it is limited participation. And we hate to have anybody miss out who really wants to be there.
Yes, yes. And starting January 23rd, a six-week conference call retreat in recording and listening training will teach six key skills of the recording and listening practice. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative.
Such a great practice. I probably
yes.
mentioned that before, that I think that's a great practice. I wish the
Maybe
whole
once
world
or twice,
would
huh?
take that once or twice. I wish the whole world would take that training.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Okay, what else is going on?
Well, some changes have been made to the 2019 schedule, so everyone is invited to check out the offerings and mark their calendars. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
That sounded kind of mysterious. It sounds like if we've checked out the calendar, we need to check it out again because something has happened to it.
Another good reason to look at the calendar.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic that lasts about 5 minutes is great.
All right.
Okay,
here we
ready,
go,
Sherry?
I'm ready.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Kevin in Chicago.
Hello,
hi, Kevin.
Kevin.
Hi. This is so wonderful. I'm so happy to have connected here tonight. I was at the New Year's retreat.
Yes.
And which was lovely and just a beautiful time. I went right from the retreat to the airport to fly back and take a 4-hour plane flight. And we're almost landing, and we have an emergency landing happen.
Oh, my
us.
Gosh.
Yeah, and it was, say that?
Well, no, I was just expressing, shock and dismay and eagerness to hear what happened.
Yeah. When the landing gear was coming down, there was an issue. So it was towards the end of the flight. But where practice came into play there, it was quite wonderful. We heard a couple of sounds that you really don't want to hear in a plane. There was a bit of movement of people, and by the grace of life, there were two pilots that were on board as passengers. And so after the sounds happened, they went up to the cockpit and they were discussing with the pilot and co-pilot in the cockpit what was going on, and thoughts just came into my head, flew in, flew out, and I could just see conditioning building all these different scenarios. And I said, wait a second, that's a story. The plane is steady, and I'm literally just looking at these four pilots who know how to fly a plane. You have four great minds in this situation, figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a wonderful practice. And then as things got a bit more dire, the thoughts came through, and I sent final communications to my family. And
gracious.
Yeah, it was to that level. And what was so interesting is after I sent that, of course, you expect some sort of quick response from the people you sent communications to. And there was nothing, you know. It was hard for signal was going in and out at that height. And what I realized was that in the best sense of the word, I was alone and I was okay. And I was at peace with everything. And it was so amazing to have that experience in that heightened situation. And it kind of speaks also to the work that was uncovered in the retreat. You know, I came in with so much conditioning, but there were a couple times during the retreat where I really, opened to what we were doing, and it connected right through conditioning to me, to this being. And it was amazing, and I had amazing experiences from the time I arrived to literally the time I safely landed.
Touchdown. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You really know how to finish a retreat, don't you?
Well, I finished it. So, I mean, I'm grateful to be here calling in, but it was like, wow, I'm really using what I learned on retreat in this situation, which is not the most ideal to find myself in.
Oh, no. I bet there were plenty of people around you who were not having the same at-peace experience.
Correct, yeah. People were very emotional and reaching out to family members, but it was really quiet and peaceful and orderly, and there wasn't, any sort of outbursts or anything like that I could hear or see. It was, I think, everybody kind of coming to terms with a possibility that went our way.
Oof. So. Yeah. And then did you skid into with the fire trucks there waiting for you? And that, was it one of those kind of landings? Or?
Yes, yeah. And it was, we had the deplane on the runway, and they, wheeled up one of those long ladders, that, not fire ladders, but steps. And the firefighters lined up the whole set of stairs. There must have been 40 or so lined up to help passengers, literally at every step. I mean, it was so generous, and there was a school bus waiting for us to, bring us back to the terminal. But I have a renewed sense of life, that's for sure. Life is
a bit brighter.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a bit more alive than I was.
Yeah. Well, it sure puts paid to that taking anything for granted, doesn't it? I mean, just
exactly.
Wake up in the morning and open your eyes, and it's a great day.
And I really saw what mattered in life and what didn't matter. I don't know if I can verbalize that further, but it was kind of this felt sense of, I know what matters.
You make me cry, Kevin.
Oh.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Wow.
But incredible gassho to Sangha and the monks and yourself and Ashwini and Jen and Jen. It was such a wonderful emotional time at the retreat, and it allowed me to be a bit more open in that scenario that I found myself in.
Yeah. So. Oh, I'm so glad for this this happy ending to that story.
Me as well.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, you continue to take great care of yourself, okay?
Will do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin. Right. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kevin. Sherry, those stories are so amazing to me. When the stakes are really high and practice comes through, it's just so incredible.
Yeah. 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 Yes. It makes me want to train even harder, practice even harder, and really hope it goes that way.
Yes.
You know, however it ends, just to hope to be there in that state of peace and well-being. And as in Kevin's situation, if it doesn't end there, if there is that kind of miracle that happens, then to come through it having that deeper sense of what matters in life, how you want the next part of it to go.
Yes.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the miracle of waking up each morning and opening our eyes.
Yeah. Because, gosh, it sounds like it very easily could have not gone that way. That wouldn't have happened. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hi, this is Jill in New York.
Hello, Jill.
Hi, Sherry.
What are you up to?
Well, I thought I was having a bad day until I heard that story.
Can we get immediately to that? No. Every day is a good day.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so happy to be on this call for sure.
Happy to be here every sense of the word, right?
All senses, I mean, and I can't wait to go to the New Year's retreat next year. I haven't been able to go the past few years, and I just love that retreat. And I was happy to hear people talk about it, and I just brought back some really strong memories. And it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is a good one. And of course, you know, the content of that retreat is coming to a location near you.
Oh,
so it'll take a few months. It'll take a few months, but it'll get there. And you could join us before that in North Carolina if you wanted to travel a little.
Ah,
so,
interesting.
Lots of options.
Huh.
Yep.
All right. Oh, I'm really happy to hear that. That's great. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I mean, 29. isn't that great? It's like there is a solution for all of the stuff. I guess really why I got on the call, besides the fact it's always good to connect, was I just had these like 12 or 2 or 3 weeks of just like really feeling, I don't know, just like really I'm feeling all here in every moment. And then today was just such a poop of a day. It just went right into the toilet. And so it was
those numbers are good, though. Those numbers are good, right?
I absolutely agree. I think it's a record for me. And I think that's why today was so shocking. And it just really started, and, you know, a little bit, my nose was a little bit bent out of shape, and then it just got worse until I was, like, on Madison Avenue. I just had to leave the office and just, like, get on the recorder and just start, like, yelling obscenities. I got it on the recorder, so, you know, I could.
And fortunately, you're in downtown New York, right?
Oh, that happens all the time there.
Yeah, so you're just one of those people out there on the street screaming obscenities. The difference is many won't be using a recorder,
that's right.
but that's okay. It's a minor difference.
Exactly. And I actually thought of myself for a split second listening to it in the future, so I pulled the phone away a little bit just to give my future self a little bit of space to in hearing that. But it was really like a real moment of like, I am just so angry, so angry. Mm. And it was, you know, and it seemed to be, and I know from practice probably, you know, there's other stuff going on triggered by this one person, but, you know, of course it's this other things, but, and then I, you know, listened to it and got on the two-hand and really felt like, you know, a lot of that energy had worked itself out, but boy, did I have a hangover from it. And it was so interesting to just be sitting here on the call and just suddenly feel myself like pull out of that hangover and just be like, okay, I'm, you know, I feel
I'm here.
I'm all here now. And and how, you know, I guess I had never really seen that when there's a takeover or experience in that way, and then that part of it moves away, that there's this other vacuum that conditioning can come into and really start to get me noodling about what happened and what, you know, what to do about it instead of
that is such a good point. That is such a good point. So working on the communication book today, I was looking at, it was a conversation. So, you know, somebody says something to you at work, and there's an immediate upset over the whatever was said, right? And then conditioning comes in with, well, that was an awful thing to say.
He
shouldn't have said that. That's not. And then we have that little moment of, yeah, doggone it, and feel like we're supported. And then comes in the, well, but you know, if you didn't say the kinds of things you say, probably that kind of thing wouldn't happen to you.
Yeah.
And then there you are again. So it's that. I don't know, but that was my example today of what I think you're pointing at, that we just kind of recover from one thing, and self-hate, conditioning, ego, has another attack lined up.
Yeah.
So just about the time you get upright again, here it comes. Now it's aiming at your knees.
Yeah.
And there's just that kind of reeling from the onslaught.
Yeah, it felt, in hearing you say that, the image that came was like sort of like knocking down a bunch of cans, and like when I hit the top can or the bottom can or whatever, I have to fall, all, you know, I'm falling with all of them, and so there's all these other threads that conditioning has been building up around to get to that point of being so angry that, you know, have probably been working all day in some ways about, like, you know, all those little thoughts that stack up. That's what it feels like, that you know, on their own seem quite innocuous, but they're actually weaving together this moment of just being ready to sort of light the fuse. And
and on the heels of this great expansive time.
I know.
So, right? So because there's this great expansive time, there's that little thread that gets pulled, but that's not a big deal. And
exactly.
Then there's a little one over there that gets pulled.
Go.
And we don't really notice, right? We don't really notice because I feel so great. And then, wham, not so great.
Yeah. My attention was on how great I was feeling.
Yeah, that's a subtle one too, isn't it? There's feeling great, and there's being in a story about how great I'm feeling.
Right, exactly. I mean,
which is part of the setup.
Like 2019, everything has gone perfectly in 2019 so far. I think that was actually my recording this morning, how happy I was about it, and how I just feel so, you know, there's just been movement in these place areas that have been stuck for me for years, and I'm just like, you know, whatever. And today when the bottom fell out, I was like, okay, we're
okay. I have to go scream obscenities on the street.
Exactly. Just to balance
it out. No help for it. Yeah, to balance it out. Well, now that's another one, isn't it? It really is kind of balancing it out.
Yeah.
And of course, with this practice, you know, we're completely supportive of that. Because can you imagine if you had tried to swallow all of that?
Yeah.
You're going to take all that energy and you're going to try to repress it.
Yeah, I know.
This is not healthy.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, in a lot of ways, this was progress, you know, it was real progress.
Oh!
For me to experience it within the same day is incredible. Mm-hmm. And not like 3 years later in the form of like acid reflux or something, you know. I mean, it was just like, there was a lot about it that really spoke to, that it was what was supposed to be happening for whatever
reason.
Well,
and one of the things that I appreciate so much about it is that in this really very short period of time, you've got a sense of humor about it, which is so important.
How can you not? It's so ridiculous.
Yes, but do you remember the number of years when there was nothing funny about any of it?
It's so true. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. You're absolutely right. It was all very serious. And it kind
very
of was
serious.
Serious. You know, I think
there's
just a serious period maybe when it's, you know, and then.
We're identified.
Yes.
We're really identified in that serious period, right?
Yeah.
We are the voices that
That's
are doing
right.
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Now
That's
we're watching them.
Yeah.
As soon as we get unhooked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well,
All
thank
right.
you.
Thank
Take
you.
Take care.
Thank you.
All
so
right.
Much. All right. Talk
okay.
soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. Sherry, what dropped in is just like as you and Jill were talking, that we have these experiences and we have tools to work with it. And with practice, we come right out of it so quickly. It's just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, it's one of those things that we talk to people about, especially when they're beginning practice, because when we've been stuck for years in that identification, it seems, and we are usually told by voices inside the head, that we're going to be there for years, if not the rest of our lives. And to realize that actually it doesn't take that long in the big scheme of things to get to a place where we can disidentify that quickly, we can see the humor in it, we're learning from it, we're enjoying the workshop much faster than ego would ever want anybody to know.
Yes. And what just dropped in is the importance of recording that success story.
Yes. Yeah.
So that we
know
and conditioning knows that we had a big success there.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's Jill recording the obscenities. And then in a very short period of time after that, it's going to be, and here's what happened next. And this is what I saw and this is what I realized. And And so we have that whole picture rather than what the voices would like us to be left with, which is you are a raving maniac.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Hey, Michael,
in
the pursuit of fun information, which we like to pursue, I just got a little text asking, because we were talking with Jen a little bit ago about and we had a great call on Saturday about the campaign for Africa.
Yeah.
And so I just got a number that I think is kind of a fun number that I want to share with people.
Great.
We have raised $86,239.
Wow. Wow, that's great.
Isn't that astounding? We've never done that. We have never had a campaign like this. So just for everybody who has been involved, of course, you know, let's all do the yoga of patting ourselves on the back, patting one another on the back, reminding ourselves what an incredible job we've done. and how extraordinary this is and the difference it's going to make, all of those kinds of things. And then yeah. I think we have until the 15th. The campaign will actually close on the 15th, and I'm still thinking we're gonna hit our 100,000 mark by the 15th. So
a week from
just
today,
spreading the little good news. What?
A week from today, that will be.
Yeah, is that right? That's the 15th. I thought the 15th was on a Sunday.
Well, today's the 8th.
But you.
So,
you could be right.
7 days more.
Yeah.
15.
Yeah. Oh,
so
all right.
Great.
Good. Oh, so yeah. We might have an announcement, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we were talking about, talking with Jen and Ashwini about planning a, you know, let's all get together and celebrate call. If nothing else, we just all get on the phone and scream and yell and woohoo and carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's big. I mean, it's huge. That's a lot of people making a tremendous effort to pull this off. So it's a very big,
yeah.
big deal. And if anybody hasn't participated yet, it is definitely not too late. Definitely not too late.
Definitely.
A week is an eternity.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our Zen Awareness Coaching Program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen Awareness Coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's zenawarenesscoach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ellie in San Diego.
Hello, Ellie.
Hi,
Ellie. Long time no see.
I know, it's been forever. Oh, New Year's retreat was so amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who was part of that. It was great.
Yeah, it was a good time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that cold. That was the other wonderful part. And the food was really good. It was a good time. Yeah, it was a good time.
Just and it's
all right.
Just amazing. Anyway,
what's going on?
I'm still processing all of it. What I've been looking at, what came up is at the retreat that I've continued to look at is this process of figuring.
You won't give anything away, right?
No, just that figuring it out is way bigger in my life than I realized. And the way I see that coming up is there's this thing that happens when I make a commitment and don't keep it or don't keep it to the standard of conditioning. And then there's like a standard around how I should look at that. Like,
does
that make sense? Like, like you have the tools
I think. Go ahead. No, I did. When you said it, I saw exactly what you mean. So there are the standards that ego has that you are likely not going to meet because those standards are usually shifting fast enough that we can't. And then when you don't meet them, there are standards for how you should be with not having met those previous standards. That.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the way it gets framed is that, well, you know, I'm told you have the tools to look at this and work with it through practice. And why aren't you doing that?
Because I'm listening to you instead.
Yeah,
that would be a good reason to give it.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I've been seeing that play out in a whole bunch of different places. And what's happened is there's now kind of this confusion because, okay, not figuring it out, not trying to follow these standards, well, then what in the world?
So as you just laid that out, what happened is you're looking at this issue of meeting standards, and what you've seen is a voice that says, well, you have all these tools of practice. Why aren't you using them? And you weren't figuring anything out when you saw that. You were simply present. And you saw it. And when you saw it, all these puzzle pieces fell together. Like, oh my God, that shows up there and there and there and there and there. I thought that was one conversation in this one area of my life. Oh my God, that conversation is happening everywhere. You're never going to figure anything out that's going to change your life to the degree that just being there like that and seeing something like that and having all of that drop together will change your life. Never.
Yeah. And what's I'm of present to now is that it's like, yeah, and conditioning, trying to set a timeline on when and how that's going to happen is just another set of standards.
Precisely. And you know, now, you know absolutely that standards are just to get you into a conversation with it instead of being present to what's actually going on. That's all that it is. Just as I was kidding earlier, right? Well, why are you not doing that? Well, because I'm in a conversation with this voice in my head that's talking to me about why I don't do it. That's why.
Yeah. And at
good,
the same time, yes. And
at the same time,
and well, I was gonna go off into a story, and I'm like, oh wait, I can just keep showing up.
See?
It just happened again,
Ellie.
Yeah,
it just happened again. You were there and you saw it. Oh, wait a minute. I see that. That's a story. It's probably a story that is ostensibly there to help me figure out what's going on.
Yes.
But actually, it's just there to take me out of the present. I see that. Okay, I don't need to do that.
Oh my gosh, that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'll happen less going forward because you've seen it just like you saw it there.
Yeah.
Well, once we see it, all of this stuff, it really is true. It is hidden in plain sight. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing. That's why figuring it out really is so funny once you catch on to it. Because, you know, the image that is true is it's you ask your computer to figure out the answer to your big life questions. Now, right? It probably has stuff in there from all the great philosophers, and you could read Buddha and Jesus, but that's all it's going to do is give you all the information that it already has. And it can put it together in different ways, but that's all it's got. It doesn't have anything new. It's not creative. It can't be. Because that's just not how it works. And conditioned mind, whoever originally came up with computer was really in touch with how conditioned mind works.
Mm.
Yeah. And so getting us to try to figure it out is the equivalent of going over to the computer and asking the computer to tell you what you should do about XYZ.
Yeah.
It can't do it, and neither can conditioned mind. But the difference is the computer doesn't care about having your attention. Ego really cares about it. And so, you know, my favorite thing about that, if you want to keep somebody busy for a lifetime, get them to devote themselves to answering or figuring out something that cannot be answered or figured out.
Hmm.
If you can get them to believe it's important, they'll spend their life at it. Yeah? And that's what ego has done to us with this process. You need to figure it out. You need to figure it out. Well, it can't be figured out. But by God, you'll work at it. Because you, right? Because it's the right person thing to do. If you have the information, you know, do this thing. It'll keep you from being bored when you're in class. Or, you know, then you would get out of class and you say, okay, I don't need to do that anymore. But what's tied up with this is the good, right person thing to do. This is what intelligent, capable, competent, successful people do. They figure things out. Well, God, who doesn't want to be that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that process of figuring out, I'm just really seeing how it keeps me from, it's exactly the thing that's keeping me from doing the thing that I want to do for this human.
Yes. Which is its whole point.
Yeah.
Its whole point, yes, is to keep a human being stuck as an energy-producing system for it.
Yeah.
And we can feel it, right? As soon as you catch on to it, you can feel that that's what's been going on. It just revs you up and just works you like a machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Good.
Keep on showing up.
So much for that. Who did I just hear in the background? Is that a little meow?
A cat and a dog. George and Katie.
Oh, the dog was... It was George the dog?
George is the cat. He's meowing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the dog's very quiet, but I did hear that cat putting in a little input. That's very good. All right. They're good role models, by the way. You notice they don't figure anything out. They're just there, just looking at you. Especially the dog, just looking at you. And the question is, what now?
Very
what now? What now? Yeah, that's where we want to be. All right. Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ellie. Sherry, what dropped in is how valuable it is when Sangha share whatever process that they're looking at, and then and then you explore it with them, and then I have the opportunity to look internally to see how I do figuring it out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Jen and Jen were talking about earlier. Somebody was talking about this earlier about the it's in one of those classes that it, then Ellie says something and then I say something and you see something and you say something and then Ellie sees something and then and we're just building. We're building on that. And if we'll do that, if we can get out of conditioned mind and not get stuck in that, well, I don't understand. What does that mean? That doesn't make any sense. You know, if we can just be present, right, and let it drop in, then we're just building our understanding with everything that anybody does.
Yes. And all it takes is a willingness to participate in practice.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes.
That's it. Yes, and as Phil, I don't know if you were there at Center, Michael and Phil, who introduced the as-is.
Yes.
That's it, right? It's the voices would say, yeah, but you have to have it figured out. You have to understand what people are talking about. You have to, no, you don't. We just have to show up as-is and divulge, report on, what's going on with us, get assistance and support from Sangha for having that mirrored And then everybody gets to participate and and expand understanding as a result of that.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
Oh, goody.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hey, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
Hi. I've been looking at judgments lately, and they're really coming up strongly and really causing a lot of torture, and it's judgments about my loved ones and people closest to me, and they're, it's just, I'm not sure how to work with it. Because I've heard you say about judgments before, like to see them as something that's being said in your head and to watch them and
can you do that? Yeah. Have you been able to do that? Have you been able to see it as?
No. The problem is I've been really identified with them and feeling really like a terrible person for having them. And
Okay. You know. So, that you're right. That's exactly the difficulty. You're identified with ego. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't you love it? Now, more than anything, ego wants you to be identified with it. Taking you over and having you identify it is the be-all, end-all of its imaginary existence. And then it wants to beat you up for being identified with it, for being what you are when you are identified with it. You're judgmental.
Right.
You're hateful. You're a horrible person. And so what
terrible
you get to
to be thinking.
Oh, it's awful, awful. Mm-hmm. And so what you're getting to see very close up is how really awful egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, isn't it? I mean, you're right there identified with it. So, you know, now, Emily, you couldn't be completely identified with it or we would not be having this conversation.
Yeah, I know that much.
Yeah, you got enough freedom to be able to call in. So that's a good thing. And so here's my encouragement. When those, because that's the whole deal, is to make you feel bad. That's how you stay identified, right? They they put these thoughts in, and I mean, it's projection, right? Ego has taken you over. It's saying what it's saying. It's projecting itself onto these other people, and then calling them names for. Right, you can see that process, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And can you give me one of its judgments?
Oh, looking at how, like, looking at messes around.
People who make messes, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Or
they're messy.
Yeah. Messes or what people are eating or I don't know, anything.
They're awful
and everything.
People. They're awful people. They eat awful things. They make awful messes. They're just disgusting, and it's just unimaginable that you have lived with them this long, right? They're just so awful. Yeah, yeah, and so here's my encouragement. Get out your recorder after we finish this evening. Get out your recorder and say, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate says that whoever it is whatever the judgment is. That's a projection from ego. I don't believe that. When I'm at center, what I know about is that he/she is a wonderful human being, kind, intelligent, sensitive, caring, and you list all of the good qualities of that person. Okay? Mm. And then do the next one. The voices of ego say that so-and-so is and say whatever it is. That's their projection. It's not my experience. When I'm at center, when my heart is open, what I know is, okay, and you just go right through every person and every judgment. And this is the, mm. I mean, I think that'll probably be enough to disidentify you right there. But mm. the again, I was talking about this today with the book, is we need to make a habit of this. So when that starts up, that's the exercise that you do. Okay? Mm-hmm. You don't listen to that inside your head and listen to the assessment that that's you saying that and they're awful and you're awful and everything is awful. You just stop right there, walk outside, go to the bathroom, whatever you need to do with your recorder in your hand, and you do that little exercise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So it's really getting really putting it on ego, like
yes.
taking it
because
off of
it
me.
Because it is on ego. It is on ego.
Okay.
It's not you, and you know it's not you. You know that when you're centered, you don't have any of those thoughts or feelings whatsoever. You just don't.
That's true. That's true. Okay.
Okay, so it's projecting, it's saying that, and then you say what you know is true. And to add the piece of when I am centered, when my heart is open, when I am mm-hmm. choosing unconditional love, what I know about that person, mm-hmm. and make a complete list. And if you have to do it for the same person 15 times, it doesn't matter. It's always good to reinforce those things.
Okay. All right.
Does that all hang together?
I'll try. Yeah, I'm looking
Good.
Forward to trying it.
Good.
Yeah.
And let me know, okay?
Okay. Hey,
All
thank
right.
you.
Thank you, Emily. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. Sherry, what I enjoyed about that conversation is that you didn't give conditioning an inch on anybody about anything.
No. It's just it's just a nasty piece of work, isn't it? It just is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're just calling it out in every way. And it's great.
Which we have to do. We just have to cut off its ability to make us believe for a second that we have anything to do with it. Because
mm-hmm.
we don't.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a virus.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have time for, I think, one more caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Pasha.
Sorry?
Yep. Oh,
it's
hello,
Pasha.
Calling from a very busy show in the middle of the floor, and I don't have anywhere to go to a quiet environment, but I'm here, I'm participating, and probably better for me to give a space for somebody else to talk.
Okay. Well, it's good to hear from you. Glad you've had a safe and sound return from the retreat, so we'll hear more next time when you're in a quieter place.
And I'm staying with my commitment to practice.
Good
and
for
so
you.
So far, it's successful.
All right. And so far is all we've ever got, right?
Yes.
And as was talked about earlier, whatever happens, then we just say, okay, well, now is a new moment. What now?
Yes.
We're always right here. Yeah. Well, that's
Thank
good.
You. Guess so.
Thank you, Pasha. All right. Guess so. Good night.
Thank you, Pasha. And I'll bring another caller on, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Janice from Victoria.
Well, good grief. If we had enough time, we'd get the whole retreat on tonight.
Yes.
How are you?
Well, today I am really much improved, and Oh, I just love the call, starting with the first call. The emergency landing was just amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, really seeing what's important in life. And thank you so much to you and Ashwini and Jen and all of the monks and all of the participants, because with the retreat, the New Year's retreat is so incredible because there's all that perfect compassionate scheduling, wonderful food, time to go for be in nature, but I really appreciated the yoga to really be in my body twice a day. I thought it was really beautifully presented.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty balanced life, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so what happened to me was I ended up getting a really bad UTI that I discovered when I got home. Probably was sort of starting, and then there was a 12-hour journey, and then it just didn't connect. This isn't happening, you know? And so conditioning, really, it wanted to noodle all, I mean, when it wanted to spend time saying, well, what did I do wrong? What you should have done, and da 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 da.
Well, maybe it was that, and maybe it was that, and maybe it was that, and it was probably that, and
So it's that. It was definitely that figuring out thing, trying to figure it out. It was such, and really, what needed to be done was I needed to get in contact with my GP. And it was her day off. And then because I was just wiped out the first day, I just didn't get what was happening. So then the next day it was her day off. And then trying to, I know I needed to get to a lab, but needed a requisition, and then it's going to take 48 hours. But the fortunate thing was what had dropped in December was I talked to my GP, who's an osteopath, and I said, I'd really like to continue with this, checking out what I'm eating and the diet, and I've dropped gluten and I've improved so much. I'd like to talk to a naturopath. Can you recommend one? And she did, and I happened to have an appointment that day. And I just thought, that was so fortuitous to say, I've got this thing going on. And she said, well, I have something for you until you can, you know, get the lab results or, you know, see your doctor. And it was just like all the pieces came together.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Janice, the thing when you first started telling that that story, the first thing that I thought, as you said, you know, what you weren't doing in all that figuring out was taking care of being present with the human being.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's the part we forget. So here's somebody in distress, and conditioned mind says, oh, well, figure this out. Think about that. Go over that. Figure out what you did wrong. You know, noodle it. You can, and there's the the poor person who's actually having the issue gets abandoned in the process.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really, like, really today it is like the first day that I didn't have all the aches and pains and could hardly do anything. And today I went for a little walk in the morning, and that was just like so glorious to be alive and really, like, I was in my body when I was sick. I was aware of what was going on, but to be able to move it and feel that freedom, I thought, wow, I just, you know, it's good to, it's actually good that these things happen that are, you know, not very pleasant, because it really makes me appreciate what I've got.
Yes. Yes, it feels so good to feel good. And Jill can attest to this, right? When we've felt good for long enough, it's easy to forget that other states can exist. And then we go into those other states and come out of it going, okay, all right, I'm really grateful to be here. I'm really grateful to feel well. I really want to be present. Kevin can attest to that. We never know what's coming next. I really want to be here. I really want to be here with this human being, grateful, happy, appreciative, present.
Yes. And I saw that when the conditioned voices were, you know, saying you got to figure it out, and you did, and you probably should have paid attention, or this, you know, went on and on. It was just like, oh, that's not me.
Right. Yeah, this doesn't even feel that familiar. That's really not me.
So thank you so much for everything. And that was an awesome retreat. I'm looking forward to the whole year, and I'm so excited that we're up into the 80,000 marks of
isn't that
the project. Yes,
yeah.
It's wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, within 14,000 of hitting our mark. It's just, it's marvelous. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think, you know, with this, it's another nice deadline. 1 week left. I'm going to send out a bunch of different emails to some different people. Or even repeat some and just say,
deadline's coming.
This is the deadline. Yeah. Yeah. Deadlines are good, aren't they?
They really are. I wish they were named something else, but maybe we'll come up with
Live
something
line.
Better. It's fun to be so engaged and speaking of which, as you well know, and did Michael say it with the announcements that the kickoff is coming up? He must have. I must have been nodded off there for a minute. On the 19th, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did say that because it's on the style of the best year yet. It's all coming back to me. Yeah,
yes.
So we'll all be together again just a few minutes after that final countdown on the Cantaloupe project. And so, 2019.
Yeah,
it's starting off well.
Oh yes, seeing a lot. And that is just wonderful. I can't believe that so many people have helped with that African Vulnerable Children's Project. Like so many, all the wheels, and it was just put together so with so much more ease for me to facilitate sending out those requests.
Yeah.
So
thank you to everybody
who did that.
Yeah, yes, I second that. It made it took, for a lot of us, I think it took it from, oh, dear, to, oh, okay, I can do this. So, all right. Well,
so
I'm
thanks, Sherry and Michael.
Yes, I'm glad you're well and home and warm and safe and sound and all of those sorts of things. So
And going happy. Yeah.
It's the best. Thank you, Janice. Good night.
Thank you. Gasho.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. And thank you, Sherry. And thank you, everyone, for a great show.
And thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Yes, thank you very much.
Great fun. All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Go happy.
Go happy.
Bye.